good afternoon or good evening, and I'm sorry I'm late.
That's okay. I think I'm the only one.
I just, Sunday afternoon, I lose track of the where I am and what I'm doing. I get focused into something and lose track of the time.
Well, that's what I did last night. It was 10 minutes before the before 9, and so I was waiting for 9, and Tony said, well, you want to play Wordscapes. And he's so fast with them because he's done crosswords and jumbles all his life. And the next thing I knew, it was 10 after. And I was too late.
Well, the easy part of this is that we're not going to be doing the normal introduction when we do the Zohar classes, so we'll just do a Lishenyahu. And we're in the Parasha of Beha Alotza, and we're going to be on section 14, which can be found on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. The first row, the right-hand column, will open up the landing page of all of the Parashiyot. Scroll down to Baha Alotza, and then when that opens up, scroll down to section 14.
Okay, and we I'm start going to go ahead and use.
Okay. And as we said, we'll start with Olashem Yehud. Olashem Yehud Kuchabri Hu Ishkinte Bidhilu Urhimu Udhilu Udhilu Urhimu Leakta Lashem Yudhe Babadhe Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayihino Amadonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Taranei Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Taraneihu. We call to Madmida Zorah V'Zava V'Yoledet Be'esha Digburaihu Shoreth Denishmeta Ihu Manadaku Chabrihu Ihu Lashare Ba Ad Eat Labanat Besha Digbura Dikti Palo Bodivari Kaesh Neum Hashem Uhayesha Im Barzel Humit Potsets Im Even Humiboach. The translation: every uncleanness, such as that of a woman in her menstrual flow, a leper, or a man or a woman who has a discharge, and a woman who gives birth, the fire of Gevura consumes them. The soul is the vessel of the Holy One, blessed be He. And the Holy One, blessed be He, does not dwell in it until it is purged in the fire of Gevura. As is written, is not my word like a fire, says Hashem? In this fire, if the evil inclination is like iron, it explodes. If it is like stone, it melts. My commentary. With Rabbi Ashlag's commentary, the pasuk is clear as written. What word would you substitute for Givurah? Judgment? Strength? Power? Lion? Letters of the 72 names? Restraint? Limitation? Pasuk 77. Uvi minad taman Torah shebiktav Ve'ihi mayim Ve'tahara mim kor damecha Ve'itake ba mitzora Ve'tame mit v'zav Ve'tame bekol minei Sheret Sahidiktiv Bizarakti Alechem Mayim Tehorim Utartem Ritomer. The translation: And of the right, the place of the written Torah, that is referred to as water. It says, and she shall be cleansed from the flow of her blood. Through her are cleansed a leper, one who is unclean through contact with a dead body, one who has a discharge, and one who is defiled through contact with any kind of insect. This is what is meant by, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. My commentary. This pasuk is teaching what impurities can be cleaned by water. The highest form of Torah is understanding, which is the Torah within the pasukim of the Zohar. The highest form of mikvah is Gilgul HaSheleg, rolling in the snow. Pasuk 78. Biyamu dad em sayita mana it yachadat bevala tihi ita batar de it kachat bismala ve it dakeat beme mikve. Bimina v'yomrim almane d'pischa kelim shenishtamshu bahen v'tzonen matbilan v'tzonen v'hen t'horim inun nishmatin t'inun misitra Terachame v'inun rachamani Mare michina v'chisda la tzarikin Liad ke'a b'mayim Oshrim ha'beinoniyim Tavshin b'chamem tachamin Tichon mitakin rishayim gemurim Simcha merbin karmayhu Yeshad yotir V'alayhu itmar kol zavar Asher yavo ba'esh Begin dezucha mas dilchon Nefisha aval tzadikim Gemurim betzonen Dealayhu itmar Kol hamasim Revach Bein b'chad vekim Mesitanim lea Gehinom. The translation, in the central column, the vessel is united with her husband. The vessel, being a woman, is Malchut. After being sanctified in the left column and becoming cleansed in the ritual waters in the right column, she is united in the central column. It is said about Pesach utensils. Such utensils that were used to serve cold things, one dips them ritually in cold water, and they are cleansed. Since they are the souls that came from the site of mercy, and they are merciful, graceful, and kind, they do not require cleansing in lukewarm water like those of average people. Most certainly they are not cleansed in the very hot waters through which the completely wicked purify themselves. Those who heat themselves in the fire of the evil inclination. About them it is written, everything that comes into the fire, you shall pass through the fire. Since the filth on them is great, however, the completely righteous are cleansed with cold water. Since it was said about them, whoever puts space between the ones that plead together, meaning that he does not stick together while pronouncing the letters in the recital of the Shema, one to the other, the Gehinnom is cooled down for him. my commentary. With contemplation, this verse will become clear to the students of Kabbalah. It's actually an amazing teaching. Pasuk 79. Ve'i nishmatin samrim de'inun kemane keres shviratam zohiyo tacharatan kada'a nishbaru nikharu viraza Demi lazirche Elohim ruach nishbara v'gomer aval inun demishtadlin v'oraita v'bika v'oraita v'bae v'aep alpe Deinun esh umayin, deinun demishtadlin, deraze dioraita, deihu or, diktiba v'torah, or bioraita inun mitzdakin ba. If the souls are materialistic, in that they are like clay utensils. Their breakage is their purification. As it is said, if they are broken, they are cleansed. The secret of this is the sacrifices of Elohim are a broken spirit. However, as for those involved in studying the written Torah and the oral Torah, which are fire and water, and those who are striving after the secrets of the Torah, which is light, of which it is written, and Torah is light. They are purified through the Torah and do not need Gehinnom. My commentary. In this generation, the meaning of Torah is all four levels, plus the six levels of the oral Torah. And this is the Chok Yisrael, which is available on the Hashem webpage. A soul of this level is not able to be cleansed in Gehinnom, but is only cleansed through reincarnation. Pasuk 80. Weod pepere karoe aroe temarin. Bachalom tamu awonotav ahidiktiv tamalonech batzion begin ditmarim beyatam darga v'yakov deitmar beyat v'yakov ish tam tovin marim Biad Timarim Taman Tam Taman Mar. The translation. Furthermore, we find in the chapter about seeing, one who sees dates, the Hebrew word is Timarim, in his dream, it means his iniquities have ended. The Hebrew word is Tamu. This is what is written. The punishment of your iniquity is accomplished, O daughter of Zion. Because Timarim consists of the letters of Tam, which English means whole or completed, which is Jacob's level, about whom it is written. And Jacob was a plain Hebrew Tam man. The sins are bitter, the Hebrew is Marim, and therefore dates contain the letters Tam and Mar. Therefore, that indicates that his sins are over. My commentary, this book is clear as written. That is the end of the section. We will go on to section 15 because we have the time. Does anybody have any questions about section 14? I'll give you a minute or two to unmute your phones.
Excuse me, I got bumped off accidentally. I hit the wrong button.
Yeah, I figured that's what it was.
I did make a comment, if I could. I thought it was interesting that the word dates there, that really meant dates on a calendar, was the same, just about the same Hebrew word as a date that you eat, you know, tomorrow. I guess it's just the vowels that are different.
Correct. Correct. It's
mm-hmm.
It's the same letters.
Okay.
But it is for vowels. And I found the teaching about the Shema to be just amazing. It's so counterintuitive.
In the previous verse, it was like three levels of, what would you say, purification. Clay.
Yes.
And then the Torah and the oral Torah. I guess the oral Torah was the water, whereas the written Torah is the fire.
Well, both are considered water. But the cleansing is on the level of, they can break, the vessel can break, the vessel can be washed with cold water, or the vessel can be washed with warm water or hot water.
Mm-hmm.
So the cold water is the would really be considered Bina. Warm water would be considered Zeranpin, and hot water Balfut.
Okay.
Or maybe it could be reversed. I have to think that through. But
okay. Yeah, well, there was one other verse. I don't see it right now. Oh. 78. In the central column, the vessel is united with her husband, the vessel being a woman, Malkut. So was that getting to at least a ferret as a central column? Or you had to go higher up?
Well, let me take a look and see what it's saying. What you're asking about.
Verse 78.
Right. Well, you're talking about the last part of it, where it says the completely righteous are cleansed with cold water. Is that what you're asking about, or before
no,
that?
I was asking if the central column, where the vessel is united with her husband, if that was Tiferet, if it was the Sefirot moving from Malkut to Tiferet, which it had to go through Netzach and Hod to get Tiferet.
Well, what I'm getting confused about, Tiferet is a code word for Zeranpin. So, but it's also a Sephirah by itself. So I'm not sure if you're asking. See, one has to be purified. That's the left column. And then one has to be going through the cleansing of water, that's the right column. And that creates the central column because of the two actions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're asking if it's going up to Tiferet, the Sephirah of Tiferet, the answer is yes, it goes through the Gevura, the left column, it goes over to the right column, and then it settles in. Or what it would normally be is the mikveh would be the right column, and you do that first. And then the going through the fire after the mikveh would be the left column. And by doing both actions, you have cleansed any aspect of materiality, and that you then are connected to the central column, which is Tiferet.
Okay. I was thinking of something that happened when my friends were here last year from Israel, and I had a parv knife to dip into the mayonnaise because they were making a sandwich. And I don't remember the details. Anyway, I messed up somehow. And when I mess up, I'll pull it aside. And then when I get time, then I'll go ahead and reposter it by boiling. And my friend, who is a very observant Orthodox Jew, said, "Oh, you don't have to because it was cold." So I didn't argue with him, but it's made me think of even now applying Kashrut and Tevelin utensils that I mess up with, because occasionally I do mess up that I didn't quite get it right. Okay. That I didn't have to be so stringent with the hot water. Do you understand what I'm saying? Which to me is a picture in the natural of maybe something that I'm guilty of that doesn't relate. It's just that that's the metaphor for it. So it's something for me to think about.
Well, as I remember, that time of year was not, you were not cleaning for Pesach.
No, it was July. They came in July. But, they said
okay,
I was
so
more strict than they were in the kitchen, so maybe that's what he meant.
Most people don't understand. The laws of Kashrut are energy related. So when something is cold, energy doesn't transfer from one object to the next as easily as when it's warm. So that's where they're coming from and saying if the items are cold, it's like, you know, you can have meat and you can have dairy next to each other in a refrigerator. And the only difference between one is wrapped and one is not. It can be, you know, there's only one small, wrapping between them. Can that, you know, is it still kosher because they're both sitting on the same shelf? Isn't it going to transfer over the wire mesh? And the answer is, in a refrigerator, it's cold, it doesn't transfer quickly, and so it's considered still kosher.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do remember when my son's refrigerator was going out and he brought his unkosher meat, which was wrapped, and had put it in my freezer in the garage. And I remember you telling me it was okay. Of course, I did it for Shalom Bayit, and I knew that they needed that food. But anyway, you told me it didn't matter because it was cold and they were wrapped. So.
What you described is well, there were two barriers between them. They were both wrapped, so there's the two barriers. And we understand, you know, it's like taking tea on Shabbat. You can't take it straight out of the boiling teapot, but if you pour it into one cup and then take that cup and pour it into another cup, the rabbis are saying it becomes cooler, and therefore it's okay to to cook a tea bagget.
I remember that. Thank you.
But, you know, remember, Tana, I'm really not a rabbi, and I don't have the expertise in halakha. I just have the practical expertise because I lived in a location in the Kabbalah Center for a month. And in that process, I absorbed what I was told was you could never really understand the laws of kashrut unless you lived in a kosher home.
Well, it's a little bit different in my house, too, because we don't eat meat, so I'm not really dealing with meat very often. The only time I do is Tony does like hot dogs, and I eat the veggie ones, and he eats the kosher meat ones, which is very, very seldom, and I do make him some chili with kosher ground meat.
Right.
But that's not very often, you know. And when I do, I have to be real careful because it's, you know, it's easy to grab a dairy fart not thinking or a dairy, you know. But we make it, you know. But it's very seldom that I deal with meat. So that's why I'm kind of rusty on things with meat and hot and cold because I didn't have to deal with it. When I helped an elderly man that was in our city, he's since passed away, I had to teach when he got to the point he couldn't do for himself anymore and had to have a full-time housekeeper. I showed her, you know, what to do, and his house was already kosher, but how to cook his meals and all. But I did make her separate the food. If she cooked meat, to put his dishes, you know, like when she would prepare his food for the weekend, to
right.
put the meat on one shelf and the dairies on the other shelf. So that's really the only experience that I've had. It's not too much with actual meat. So
yeah. You're going to laugh at me because I eat with plastic utensils. But I don't, sometimes I don't throw them away after one usage. I did use it two or three times, and I was realizing that I had used one particular fork for a gefilte fish, and then I used it for a meat. I forget what it was in the meat dish that was also cold. And I was mortified at myself for not realizing that I needed to keep even the plastic separate. And I really don't because it's cold. But I want to take that additional step and make sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, when we have meat and we use plastic, we throw away. You know, I just don't want to, since we
yeah, well, I can,
you know, don't have
that.
It.
But if you have fish that's cold, like a gefilte fish or a white fish dip, and then, you know, and then you pick a piece of fruit out of a container with that same fork. You know, do you need to keep it separate or not? You know, and the answer is, no, of course you don't have to, but it's a good idea to keep fish away from anything just because of the oily nature of fish. Anyway.
Well, I would think, too, that if the fish had the soul of the Zadok King in it, no, you also would want to be extra careful.
Exactly.
I mean, that's just my thinking, you know, so.
And I agree with you. All right, since it's only you on the call at this point, and we've done the one section, so we'll hold over section 15 until Friday. Well, not Friday, Thursday night.
Okay. Okay, well, I noticed there too, section four, and I've forgotten what the other is, on lighting the menorah. So I wanted to go and read those as well,
okay.
Since we're still working with the menorah. Also, tomorrow, when we do the Deeper Zohar, is it okay? I missed Thursday, but I listened to the recording, you know, about the two Hays that went to Sarah and Avram to have their name changed.
Right.
I also, when I was teaching, I learned what happened to the Yud of Sarah. And I'd like to share it with you tomorrow. I mean, you may already
That's
know
fine.
It, but...
No, it's fine. I have heard it and forgotten it. What I remember saying in the class was that the Yud of Sarah was split into the two Hays, and that's one of the explanations. There's two or three others that I've heard over the years, so it would be good
mm-hmm.
to refresh.
Yeah, okay. Well, I felt like it went with the principle of Kabbalah that there's no disappearance.
Never. Absolutely true.
You know. So, and I thought it was interesting too, you know. So, I was always trying to find something because when you're teaching a beginner's Hebrew class and work in other things that I was working in, I tried to have something special about each letter, and that was my something special for letter Yod. So, but anyway, I'd like to share it tomorrow. So, okay, hopefully won't. Okay. Have a good day, okay, and a good week.
You'll also get an interesting teaching about a large Yud in Shlach Lecha over next week. So I was getting finished. So you'll enjoy it.
Okay, good. All right. Hopefully everything will turn out and I can be there tomorrow.
Baruch Hashem. Bezrat Hashem.
All right. Bye.
Have a good evening.
You too.
Shalom.